Ready for something different? Well, today we're switching gears on the Church Solutions podcast, Buckle Up, for an interview with Steve Lacy and myself by the awesome team at PressOnCon.com. Get ready to dive into our story, our vision, some laughs along the way, and maybe even a few things you never knew. Coming up next.
Hello there and welcome to the Press On Connection. I'm one of your hosts for the day, Jeremy Allison. Our other host, James Denman, is here with us. And we today are speaking with Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson of StreamingChurch.tv. Now, Steve is a degreed engineer that climbed the management ladder with a major aerospace company prior to founding StreamingChurch.tv. Steve has served in several leadership positions in his local church, as well as developed several technical innovations for ministry. While Phil has launched several Christian radio stations, served across the globe as a missionary, been an associate pastor, a church planter, and a senior pastor. Phil has a great understanding of streaming and has a heart to serve ministries. Phil, it seems like we should throw a burger cook in there or something. You guys are quite the accomplished duo.
Yeah.
We're just really old people, so we've done a lot. Done a lot of stuff.
I resemble that remark, I'm afraid. So I got it.
Oh well, it's great.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Go ahead, Jeremy. It's great to have you both with us today. That's all I was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate you guys joining us. I'm really curious, Steve, about this technical innovations for ministry. What is that referring to exactly?
I've always been intrigued by the technical stuff and being able to apply the technical side to ministry. So I guess I have a history of them. Some colorful, some not so successful, but I got started with this in my own church, being a software engineer and going to church every week and realizing I see these people every week and I know them. You know, I know who James is and he's with Press On or whatever, but I don't really know anything much more about him. So I thought it would be really cool if we had called an online community at the time. This is 24 years ago. And what if everyone had a profile that they filled out and we had some tools that would say, you know, who's the top 10 most like me at my church that shared the same music interest or that does the same, you know, line of work or family background or stuff like that. So that was the first thing. It was called My Flock and launched that within our church. And it actually had a really great growth through the early 2000s until Facebook got popular. And then it was no longer cool. So that was probably the first thing, probably one thing I'm still the most proud of, even though it didn't go as far as, you know, it would have been nice to have gone further, but that was it. And we've done all kinds of things over the years. We pivoted over to streaming in 2008 because we had built all these tools for doing online community things and thought we got chat rooms, we got member maps and all that sort of thing. So we migrated over to streaming and, yeah, some other things. The most recent thing is we're applying AI to leverage the usefulness or the life of your pastor's sermons.
Oh, interesting. So that's interesting. I think I actually remember My Flock from back in the day. I was a worship pastor back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So I think I remember that coming around. And 2008 seems like fairly early to be jumping on the streaming bandwagon, really. I mean, everybody's doing it now. The landscape has changed dramatically over the past few years for churches. So, that was jumping in on it early. What kind of trends are you seeing now, since you've been doing it such a long time? Trends in the change, the changing landscape in the streaming arena for churches, I suppose is a good way to put it.
Yeah, well, I think probably the biggest thing, and I've mentioned this to Phil and others a bunch of times, you know, I was early on the internet, and that was just a transformation for people. And I kind of watched how everyone moved from could be a really dangerous place, and, you know, don't let your name out on the internet and all that sort of thing, and to Facebook coming out. They kind of broke the mold and said, well, you're going to put your name out there, you're going to put your picture out there, we're going to You're no longer going to be anonymous on the internet. And I think that transformation that the internet caused, I think AI is going to drive that same kind of revolution. So AI, I think, is going to have a big impact on streaming. We embraced some of it early on with putting an AI web host on our platform. So it's an optional. It's not turned on by default. But yeah, a large number of churches are. What we found that it was, it livened up the chat room community.
Okay.
Because it was a really good responses, and we saw more and more people would participate as the AI was participating. It was really good at prompting communication. It was like an excellent web host.
I was about to ask, is you're using it primarily as the host, just to prompt discussion and that sort of thing at this point?
Yeah, it follows along. It knows, we train it to know that, you know, depending on what church is turned it on, it knows who the church is. It knows some information about the church. And so it tries to act as though it's a web host for, or a greeter, an online greeter for that church in for a live church service.
Yeah.
So it's got that background. So then as the chat goes on, it responds. It does it. I mean, initially really impressed with it. So Phil's not as impressed as I was. So.
Well, that's in its early days. It was hallucinating,
yeah.
not because it was taking acid, but that's the term that they use for AI when it doesn't get it right.
Right.
You know, it will give you an answer that's like not even close. You know, but I mean, over the last year or so, I think it's really, you know, polished up a lot, and I don't think it really hallucinates that much anymore.
It's getting a little scary, quite honestly. How good some of it is.
And actually, with streamingchurch.tv, which is what we're kind of referring to here, you don't have to use the AI web host. I mean, people can, if you're an admin for the church, you can, you know, disable
it
and
choose not to turn it off.
A bunch of other features as well. So
So since you guys have been doing streaming for a long time, and just about every church is streaming these days, right? It became a thing in the midst of COVID that everybody all of a sudden said, oh, wow, we actually have to do something in this realm to reach out to our congregation and to our community. What kind of issues do you see people facing now, just as far as challenges to get on streaming? It's pretty easy to do in its most basic form, but to really do it well, what are you seeing these days, Phil?
Well, I think to do it well, like you said, it's much, much easier now, and technology is much more improved. I think to do it well would be to really put some attention to some details and then actually promote what you're doing on your website. I mean, that's not really a technical thing, so to speak, but if you really want people to be involved in it, I think you need to let people know right off the bat when they go visit your website, and even your own members and your newsletters and those kind of things. Always remind people that you're streaming. And then the other thing is a friend of ours, Jason Moore, talks about is you can, and Steve's real big on this, so he can jump in here, but it's, you know, you want to make it so that it's almost like a hybrid thing. You want to address your online audience, but you also want to, you know, take care of your people that are in your facility.
Yep.
And so it's really attention to those kind of details. And Steve, you can jump on this a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's kind of your thing too.
Yeah, I mean, the real important thing is that before you throw up a camera and start streaming is to have a strategy for what audience you're trying to reach. So there's and those audiences are going to vary. So it may be, I just want to provide an outlet for those that can't get to church, that are dedicated to my church. That's one audience. That's your kind of inner circle of people. And you're going to put together a different stream for that group of people. The other one that we try to promote the most is that this is the avenue for growing your church. So you want to reach the people that are in your community. So you're going to do things a little bit differently to try to attract people that have never been to your church but live near your church. And so you're gonna advertise different. You're gonna put on a different. You're gonna get rid of. You're just gonna be more, you know, seeker friendly in your stream, and try to draw that audience. And then there are some churches out there. Then we have some that are streaming with us that just they want to be an online ministry. You know, they're typically some of the smaller churches, and they want to reach the world. And so there's a different approach there. You know, they're not necessarily care about the people that are as close proximity to them. They want to broadcast everywhere.
Yeah.
So put together your strategy, and then, you know, figure out what audience I want to go to, figure out what strategy is, and then go from there.
What a novel concept. Have a plan.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what does what exactly does streamingchurch.tv do to support churches in building that online presence that you're talking about?
So I think I run into a lot of people and they go, what do you do? And I say, well, we provide live streaming for churches. And a lot of people, oh, so you go and install cameras and go to the facility and do that sort of thing. I go, no, we don't do any of the equipment side of things. We provide just the hosting element. And so what we've done is we leverage some of the tools that we had in MyFlock because we want to make this a very interactive experience for people. So we encourage that they use our full platform. And so it's got things, it's designed for church as opposed to designed for streaming a game or streaming a high school football game or something like that. So as people arrive, they're automatically welcomed. You can choose how they're greeted. So it's just trying to promote people to open up and connect online. So you can do ministry online. So we have the ability for a web host to be part of the platform. We track stats in a similar manner that you would for people coming to your church in person. You want to know who's a first time guy and follow up with them differently than the person that's come back for the third time. And so all of our tools are kind of geared to highlight, here's a first time person, here's somebody that's come back twice, you know, and we built in some automated follow up tools and some other things. So we're just trying to foster ministry to happen online. And so,
yeah, and also we have a tremendous amount of resources. You know, if anybody just goes to streamingchurch.tv and clicks on the resource menu, you're going to see all sorts of stuff to help your church. Technically speaking, but also not just technically speaking, I was involved in ministry on staff at some point, or full-time or part-time, for well over four decades. And so we have a good understanding of church life, so to speak. And there's resources that we have, like podcasts, the Church Solutions podcast, which you guys have been on, but also our webinars. We have loads and loads of blogs at blog.streamingchurch.tv. So I think one of our biggest deals is, as Steve just said, is equipping the church for online ministry, but also providing resources for people. And honestly, we're around 7 days a week, and especially live support Sunday mornings, because we do have people that occasionally have a problem. Most of the time it's on their end, and so we're available Sunday mornings with live support to help walk them through it. So it's really, as Steve just mentioned, it's really about coming alongside the local church, or global church for that instance, and you know, be available to help them with resources and practical customer support.
Yeah, Phil's a big part of this too. I mean, we really stress the customer support, and we get to know some of the pastors really well. We were just joking around with one of them that's one of our streaming church ministries, and so yeah, he's like, I don't want to be a burden to you guys. And I was like, no, we're fine, we're good. So Phil goes the extra mile working with people.
Well, I just, you know, especially pastors, because I was in it for so long.
Right.
And, you know, I know what it's all about. I have a pretty good understanding of the pressures and the challenges and all that stuff. And I think you guys as well have been involved in ministry, so you have an understanding too, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure it sets your customers at ease to know that they have somebody they can call and actually get a hold of somebody. But one of my pet peeves, and one of the things that Press On is sort of designed to do is help alleviate some of those tasks that pastors and other ministry leaders are given that they're really just not, I don't want to use the word qualified, but they're just not made to do. That's not their calling. You know, if you're a pastor of a small church, you're expected to do everything from preach on Sunday morning to, you know, administer the funeral on Tuesday afternoon, and then clean the toilets and make sure the HVAC works and everything else. And you really shouldn't know how to do all of the things a pastor is supposed to do, and also do the accounting, and also do the streaming service on Sunday morning, you know. So it's a great thing that you guys are providing that level of customer service and, you know, yeah, helping it happen.
The majority of the churches out there, James, the majority of the churches out there are like roughly 70 people in attendance.
Right.
I mean, that's the majority of the churches. These mega churches get a lot of the publicity, and you know, but the truth is, you know, the average church is 65, 70 people in the United States.
Right.
And, you know, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Your point is very, very true. Phil was just talking to a pastor yesterday and just getting through. They were not, we'll say, internet savvy, I guess. So even joining a Zoom call was a major challenge. So.
Well, I'm sure you have some horror stories that you could share. With people just having a crash and burn moment. First of all, if you have any funny stories, we'd love to hear them. But what kind of successes have you had? I know I have the stories that I like to tell when I'm talking with a new customer about, you know, well, I got this call on Sunday morning and I was able to help them get their service up just in the nick of time, you know, that sort of thing. You got any good stories along those lines?
Success stories. Well, I mean, honestly, we do a lot of that all the time. I mean, we'll have people all the time that can't figure out how to stream, and even some people that have been involved in tech for a while. And so, you know, as far as success, like, okay, we got you streaming, and here's how to embed the video on your website. We've got some funny stories, but as far as success, I mean, we've got customers that have been with us for years, and they love us. Steve and I were having lunch yesterday together, and my phone rings, and it says it's from Philadelphia. And I'm like, all right, this is spam, because I'm out here in Arizona, and I don't know anybody in Philadelphia. And then it called again. So I thought, all right, I better pick this up. And it was a pastor that's been with us forever. And when I first started working with Steve in 2009 or whatever it was, you know, I just used my cell phone to reach out to customers and all that kind of, and I don't normally do that a lot now. Normally we have our own little system and set up, but he still has my cell phone. So it was a pastor that's been working with us for many years, and you know, I finally picked it up. He goes, "Oh yeah, this is Reverend." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
We joked around a little bit, and then we got him. We got his problem solved, you know, which wasn't a big deal, but.
Well, as far as funny stories, I've got one that I just retold recently, because I met this, we had a birthday party for our grandkids at our house, and there was a guy that was from Russia that was there, and so I had to tell him, this is a long time ago, and so we were just getting into streaming, this would probably have been around 2010 time frame, I don't know. And I had hired my son, who's also an engineer, for the summer, for a summer job. Actually, three of my four kids are all software people, and I kind of got them going, you know, teaching them the software side of things. So anyway,
he wasn't an engineer. He was what, 12 or 13?
No, he wasn't 12. It was a summer job. I think he was out of high school. I think he was in college. Anyway, we had a bunch of new accounts, and one of the things I had Chad do was, I said, you need to go validate that all of these accounts are working before we, you know, assign them to customers. And so he had a list of, I don't know, 40 accounts or something. And the deal was, he would go and stream for a few seconds, and make sure the stream showed up and goes, yep, that account's working. So yeah, I can mark it off and we can ensure it's good. And this is like a Tuesday morning. And all of a sudden, we get a phone call. Probably Phil or I got a phone call and said, we've been hacked. And we go, what's going on? And they said, this young kid without a shirt showed up on our screen. And so my son was was on his computer without a shirt on, you know, just making sure the stream was showing.
Summertime in Tucson.
Yeah,
summertime in Tucson.
These guys are streaming to an auditorium.
Yes, to an auditorium,
big,
to a conference.
Large screens in Russia, right?
It was a Russian church in the U.S., but they had a conference going on in the U.S. on like a Tuesday morning, which is because we're thinking, you know, who's streaming on a, you know, we're not going to interrupt anybody's services. And lo and behold, they were pretty, they were not happy with us. And I didn't know. I was like, I have no idea what's going on. It wasn't for a few days till I found out, oh, that was my
yeah,
son.
Yeah, you never want to admit that, right? We don't know who this kid was. He's been
yeah. Yes, but they were, we've been hacked. I'm like, I've never heard of this before.
Yes.
You need to check it out.
Oh, my.
Sometimes you just have to laugh.
Yes, it was very embarrassing.
I don't know. We've done pretty good without making too many goofball mistakes. I mean, I think one time I deleted some church's 200 video files years ago by accident, and we couldn't even recover them. And it was like, sorry.
Yeah. But we've been doing this since 2008, 2009 timeframe. So we've got about 14 years, and we've got a couple of stories. Mm-hmm. Most of them are pretty old.
Yeah, that's good. For sure.
Well, you know, making mistakes is part of what makes us human, and mistakes covered under grace are certainly the best ones. As we move forward from the experiences you've had, humorous and otherwise, Phil, can you speak a little bit to how StreamingChurch.tv is planning to stay ahead of the curve, so to speak, and meet some of the evolving needs of the church?
Well, I think AI is definitely a big part of that. And I, you know, when this whole thing, AI really got into the public spotlight, what, 2 years ago maybe? I don't know where people really started to hear about it. You know, there was a survey done, and a lot of church leaders were just not on board, you know. But as AI has progressed over the years, the last year or two, you know, more and more the numbers have improved as far as people accepting what it is. I think Steve mentioned that earlier in the podcast, how, you know, the internet started things out and people were freaked out about it, and then now they embrace it. So I think using AI with streaming video is with several things that we do with it is definitely a big part of that. And I think really, again, as Steve mentioned earlier, you know, it's all about really knowing what you want to do with streaming video and then, you know, implementing it. Technology just keeps getting less expensive for the most part. And so you can do more now with cameras that are PTZs that will literally follow you around the auditorium. And you guys know about that. And so those kind of things, I think, are just making it so much easier to reach more people, to reach the people in your community, as well as reaching globally, if you want to do that message. Steve, you want to jump in on this as well?
One of the things, Apple makes everything normal, right? And Apple's their new iPhone has AI integrated, and they're promoting it. So I think the kind of the fear and the attitude's going to change towards, you know, embracing AI in the church and in your daily life and doing things. So that's encouraging. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I was just going to jump in and say, you know, we've got something we've introduced. We're promoting it on our podcast as a sponsor, but Daily Dive 365 can take your streaming video archives and create daily devotions using AI. And it can do it in your pastor's voice.
Oh.
And it can do, it can create a podcast for you automatically. Yeah. And it can create, it can use Alexa, your Alexa devices that people now have, you know, can listen to your daily devotion on Alexa, you know, on your mobile app. And yeah, it can do little clips for social media, like Sermon Shots, our buddy at Sermon Shots does. So again, that's something that's taken your streaming video and your archives and creating something that's very minimal effort on an admin's part or a pastor's part, and it connects people 7 days a week with daily devotionals.
Based on the message. And it's done responsibly in that it will suggest the devotions and gives you the opportunity to review them and edit them and change them however you want to. I mean, my pastor at my church got involved with it at first. They would, you know, spend some time, you know, adding to or rewording things that the AI had done. And we got some pastors. The one of them we were talking about with yesterday has really gone to some great lengths to get involved himself with that. And then it, one of the unique things is it takes the delivery of the devotion all the way to the person. You know, it shows up on their phone. It's not up to the church to figure out, okay, I got to text these out or I got to email them or how am I going to get them to them? So it's, everybody's got a phone and this will take them right to the phone or to their smart devices.
It's all about connecting people.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
I'm stepping on everybody. No, but, right. You know, it's really, it serves as a way to connect people. Mm-hmm. You know, the famous, what is it, 167 hours? During the week, I always get mixed up on this, Steve. There's 167 hours.
There's 168 hours.
168 and 167. Yeah. So you know, most pastors, you know, your church experience is an hour, maybe 2 hours. But what about the rest of the hours? What about the 167 hours after that, or 165? It connects people with a short daily devotional, and you can even use it for your small groups.
Yeah.
You know, when you get together with small groups, I used to do small groups for years, and, you know, you gather everybody together and you talk about the Sunday service, and most people just sit there like a bump on the log, you know, because they forgot what was talked about. You know, 24 hours later, most of it was forgotten, you know. And so, again, it's an AI thing, but it is something that can be used to help people connect with each other and to grow spiritually.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's great.
I just think it's a great
idea. And it makes the pastor and staff look like geniuses, right?
Yeah. And so let me promote it. It's dailydive365.com.
Another interesting story I had. My pastor at my church got real involved early days of my flock, and we connected up with one of his best friends who was pastoring a church in Virginia, and I got to know this guy really well as well. And I was driving into work into my old corporate job, and Peter calls me, and it's a Monday morning, and we're talking. He goes, "Oh, by the way, what did Jeff, our pastor and his, you know, his best friend, he goes, what did Jeff speak on yesterday?" And I went, and he just started he just lit into me because he had spoke yesterday, you know, the prior Sunday, and he didn't want to have his congregation going, you spend the whole week on that thing. You better remember it. So, yeah, it took me a minute, but I was way too slow for him. Oh, yeah.
But the point is you can take streaming video, and, yeah, you can stream live 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and that's great, and some of our customers do that. But, you know, taking these archives and creating something useful out of them to help people is to me is the thing where it's really going these days.
Yeah, it's great. It's a value add.
Yeah,
sure.
And that makes sense. A lot of times those little 5-minute nuggets, you know, there's more time in a day to consume those and to continue to think on those than there is to try to digest an entire hour-long sermon every day of the week. So certainly makes sense. You seem to be right on the edge, so to speak, of streaming technology, particularly for churches. Can you give us any kind of sneak peek into what we might get to see in 2025 from streaming church?
I don't know. Let's see if there's one of the big trends that is going on is, you know, everyone's, we went from 20% of the church is streaming before COVID and 80% were not streaming, to now 80% or more are streaming. And a lot of that is on the social platforms. So we've got some things that we partner with some other companies that we're really excited about that haven't taken off yet. So maybe there's some things that'll take off. We've got partner with a company that has what they call a viral stream share. And that allows the church to put out a, send an email to all the church, you know, to our set of church members, and they click on a link. And when they click on the link, they are allowing the church's stream to show up on their social stream. So for on Facebook or YouTube or whatever. So they would, so basically the church member go, yeah, I agree that when the church's streams, it's going to show up on my stream. And so we saw just a ton of potential for that. Cause if you, you know, one of our third guys really involved with the social side, on average, people have over 200 friends on Facebook. And so if you just got 10 of your key people in the church restreaming your stream as soon as it goes live, it goes live on theirs. They got, that's 10 times 200, that's 2,000 people they're going to be exposed to that message. So we're, you know, we're excited for the potential for that. We haven't seen any churches really strongly leverage that, but that's a really neat idea that I think is out there that we may see some more activity in, and definitely seeing some activity on the social side, on the, in the social platforms.
I think too, and we still get this. Steve mentioned a lot of churches are, you know, using Facebook and YouTube, mm-hmm. you know, the stream, and because it's free. But is it really free? I mean, it's free, but there are other, there's pros and cons to it. So we do get people popping over and saying, you know what, I'm not happy with Facebook, I'm not happy with YouTube for various reasons. Mm-hmm. We have a blog.
Typically because YouTube and Facebook were not happy with
right.
them.
Right.
And
yeah.
blocked their
yeah,
copyright.
I was actually gonna ask or copyrighted that, their... how often do you run into that? Because I've run into that yeah. with some of my customers too, and it's a challenge.
Yeah. It is, and it's, you know, I mean, not to beat this horse to death, but I mean, it's not really your content anymore when you're out there on YouTube and Facebook. It's no longer really your content. It's their content mm-hmm. now. And so we have churches come over because when they stream with us, it's their content, you know. We just provide a platform for them and you know, provide the means to do that. So I still get that. I had somebody the other day that said, you know, we've been using Zoom since the pandemic. And he goes, I want to do more, you know, than just Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, we can certainly help you do that, you know. Zoom has some nice features, but, you know, you can do more. So there's a lot of those little things. You know, we've been around forever. We're not going anywhere. And so we still see people coming and going. You know, we do have people that go to YouTube and Facebook. And a lot, I think a lot of it is because of the economy. But then also I think we have people that come back to
right.
us. From those other platforms and even other companies. So it's just really, to me, you want to have the personal touch. You want to be able to pick up the phone when somebody calls, you know, on our end here, you know, and if you're a customer, you want to be able to talk to somebody and have a good response. So that's kind of where we're at yeah. on that stuff. You know, today I've seen over the years, the last few years, a lot of these tech companies, you can't get a hold of them for days later
yeah.
or weeks
very
later.
Very true.
And so
yeah.
we try to be timely. You may not always get us on the first phone call, but we'll call you back.
And Phil likes the joke.
It surprises a lot of people,
it
too.
Does, and it makes a huge difference.
Phil likes the joke because we'll get support calls for Facebook yeah. or YouTube. And they said, well, let me call Mark Zuckerberg
right.
and see what he says about this.
Yeah, good luck finding an 800 number for Google.
Yeah.
I have as of yet to do
yeah.
that.
I had somebody, I mean, we just want to help people. I mean, I don't know how to, I don't want to, you know, self-gloss. But the truth is, we're just really wanting to help churches and help people. I had a customer somewhere, I guess it was in Africa somewhere, was having issues, and he wasn't even using us, and he wanted to talk to me about stuff because we're always out there with resources. And I said, you know what, why don't you try this? And it was as simple as lowering your bit rate, your video bit mm-hmm. rate. And I said, let me know what happens with that. And he got back with me the next week. He goes, that worked perfectly. Thank you very much.
There you go.
And I'm like, I'm glad we could help you. You're not a customer, but I'm glad we could help you.
Well, I've gotten two customers recently that solely based on the fact I called them back. You know, they had tried to deal with some other AV people, and they either wouldn't call them back or didn't show up when they were supposed to. And, you know, I don't get that as a business owner. How in the world are you doing business that way? And customer service, I know it's cliche, but customer service is so important, and it's huge. And it's really encouraging to me to hear you guys talking about how much, you know, how much you, it means to you and how you approach it. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's great.
I'm a big Dave Ramsey fan. He says, all you got to do is show up when you say you're going to show up.
Exactly.
He said, it's not that hard. He said, but, you know, half the people can't do it.
Yeah, it seems that way. It seems that way, for sure. So somehow we kind of skipped this at the beginning of our interview here, but what inspired you guys to start this to begin with back in 2008? What made you kind of go, oh, you know what? Churches need to be online.
So I think what inspired us, my church was meeting in a high school at the time, and they thought, you know, we really had to record these sermons that the pastor's doing. So I thought, well, we can fix this. I'll bring in my camcorder. We'll set up a tripod and we'll record the service. So we were recording some of the services. We didn't have internet access at the school, but when we later, the following year, 2008, moved into a building, we thought, well, we can set up some live streaming for within our own church, and just started digging further into things and saw that, oh, we've got this chat platform, we've got all these tools that were built under the MyFlock umbrella that we can just migrate right over. So it was really started with my own church, and then we just built the system so that other churches could take advantage of it.
MyFlock.com is still around. I mean, if people listening to this podcast want to go look at it, I mean, it's still there. MyFlock.com is the website. But as Steve said, we have a lot of those tools that we incorporated in streamingchurch.tv. So, but I think, hats off to Steve Lacy here, because he's the guy that really had the vision to take this thing to the next step. You know, we could have just stuck with what we were doing at the church. But we wanted to make it available. He wanted to make it available to other people.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate his vision and his desire. And he's come up with a lot of ideas. He's probably
some of them not so good.
Well, it's always kind of funny, because he would bounce these ideas off me. And some of them I'd be like, I'm not sure about that. And then he'd get real discouraged, because I didn't get
excited about it. There were some that we chased that just flopped like crazy, which we still don't understand. We put together one of them that didn't do too well, but you were excited about, and others were excited about, was greeter.church. This is many, many years ago, when we thought, oh, we're used to doing online support. We can kind of integrate some online support tools and do live support for churches out there that want to just ask questions or have somebody to pray with, some other sort of thing. But it never got off. It got built and implemented a little bit, but it never caught fire.
Yeah, there are some companies doing that though, Steve. I think even one of the phone system that we use is maybe makes that available for people as well. Funniest thing, I think this isn't church related, I guess, but the funniest thing was, in my opinion, was Steve had this idea about a tip card, a tip app or something, and he'll have to explain it because my memory's bad. But the idea was, if you were somewhere and you had to tip somebody, instead of giving them cash or something, you could just have this app set up where you could send them a tip, right? And I said, yeah, I'm not sure about
this
that.
Is,
I said,
this is pre Venmo. This is pre.
Yeah, this was years ago, right? This
many,
was
many, ago. Many years ago.
And I said, well, yeah, we might want to talk to some people that, on the other end of this thing, so we went to a resort here in Tucson. Tucson's got several big resorts, and we bounced it off one of the guys that's one of the the greeters or something at the resort, you know, that you tip generally, right. You know, you pull your car up and he takes your baggage and you throw him $5 or something, you know. And he listened to us for a minute. He goes, "Don't do this. Whatever you do, don't do this." And I think it was had something to do with the fact that he didn't want to have it recorded because he'd have to pay tax on it.
I figured he's the guy that invented Venmo.
No, yeah, it could be. The guy that went off and did Venmo, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, so there's... Yeah, go ahead. Hats off, though, to Steve. I mean, he really does try to come up with some great ideas. I'm not very creative, so I usually just tell him. I usually try to punch holes in it.
I transitioned to not carry. I never had a need for cash anymore because, you know, everybody takes a credit card. And so you get in a position where you're like, oh, I have no cash. It's embarrassing, you know?
Yeah.
You're the guy stiffing you for not having any cash on you. But, yeah, now it's more commonplace. This was, again, at least 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, actually, I have one of those gift cards, those cards right around.
I think we still have
Let me see.
Set up. I think we still have Phil at tipcard.com.
There you go.
You know, tipcard.me, man. You just, and this was in the era when it's got a QR code on it. I don't know if you guys remember, but QR cards were like, oh, QR codes, that's so cool, back in 2004 when they came out or whatever. And then they went away, and they were like, you know, nobody does QR codes are not any good.
Everywhere.
Now they're back.
Yes.
They're everywhere. And this was during the phase when they were nowhere. And so, like, what's that fuzzy thing?
Right.
So anyway, I guess I'm guilty of being a little too early for a lot of these things.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, hats off to you with the innovation, and certainly we'll say the divine inspiration behind Streaming Church. As we start to wind down today, what advice would you give to churches that are considering transitioning to online services, or just a church that's already doing an online ministry but really wants to expand that, wants to build it out and reach more of their community?
Yeah, I think the key is to go back to what I was saying earlier and figure out, why am I streaming? You know, or because most of the churches are streaming. Why am I streaming? Am I doing it for, you know, those that can't make it on Sunday? And a lot of pastors really resent that fact, that they're like, you know, wow, now that I'm streaming, I get people, you know, sleeping in and not coming to church anymore. So, but it's, you're still serving that community. And you make it more convenient for them. And as people, this is one of the guys that talks about this a lot, says, you take that away, they're going to find something where someone is offering that convenience, the church down the street that is streaming their services. So you don't want to take it away. I think you want to just back up and reevaluate, why am I doing this? Who am I trying to reach? What are my goals? Do I want to grow my physical congregation here? And so if that's the case, then I can use streaming as one of the tools to increase my, and I'm going to go about it a different way. I'm probably going to rely on guys like you to come in and if I'm trying to, you know, grow my church, I want to create an environment that is welcoming and interactive for the people so that people can check me out. Our church does a new member class, as most churches do, and one of the questions they ask is, you know, how did you find out? Our church is called Alive Church. This is many years ago, but they said, how do you find out about Alive Church? The pastor was telling me this later. He said 80% of the people in the class said, I watched you guys online.
Wow.
So before I ever considered coming or looking, or even, you know, I wasn't going to darken your door until I was pretty sure that it was a safe bet. So, I mean, that's... And if that's your avenue, then you want to be able to leverage that. You want to be put things in place like advertising locally.
Right.
You want to do, we just had a podcast with, who was it that talked about the three rings? Oh, the missional marketing folks.
Yeah. Bart Blair.
Bart Blair, yeah. And some key things, like there's felt needs in the in your community. And if you can put a Google AdWord out or things like that that are a felt need, you know, I'm going through divorce or I'm going through whatever, and that steers people towards your church. You're gonna minister to people initially online, and then they're eventually gonna be a part of your church. A good percentage of them.
I think, you know, again, the idea of, as Kenny Jeong likes to say, stop using the cut and paste method of streaming. In other words, you know, you're just throwing a camera up and that's it. You know what I mean? And then you're expecting people to show up. And I think, as Steve was mentioning earlier, you got to have some vision, you got to have some goals, you got to have a strategy. And your streaming video may look a lot different than the church down the road, you know, depending on the needs of your congregation or depending on your vision. So just throwing a camera up there, you know, that was fine during COVID.
Right.
But I'll never forget the time this guy couldn't get equipment. COVID had hit, and they couldn't get equipment for streaming. I said, all right, you know, do you have a stack of bricks? Put your laptop on the bricks, open up your laptop camera, and you can stream with us, you know, and that will work until COVID subsides. But you can't do that anymore.
Right.
You could, but you want to get something a little different. So, you know, you really need to evaluate what's going on.
So, and you're talking about predictions for 2025. I think we'll start seeing churches on the leading edge changing the format of their streaming, meaning people don't want to do a church service for an hour and a half to check out your church. So I think you're going to see some more bite-sized things during the live service, maybe just broadcasting just the message or a part of the message. And just some, I think people are going to take some unique things to kind of address that people are online. They can switch off at any minute. You want to keep their attention. You're gonna maybe shorten the format of your service that you're streaming with.
Yep, we live in a short attention span world. That is for sure.
Yeah.
So,
wait, what'd you say? I'm sorry, I zoned out for a minute.
Too long. Didn't listen.
Squirrel.
Exactly.
Squirrel.
That's pretty much it. So yeah, I have a funny story. We recently upgraded a little small church in Cartersville, Georgia. Where the guy was actually using 6 cell phones as his camera. I was impressed he made it work, to be honest with you. But, yeah, there's a lot of innovative folks out there, but sometimes it's not the best way to go about things. But, gentlemen, I want to say...
Sling Studio, years ago, Sling Studio had something.
He was actually using Sling.
You could use your phone.
Do that.
Yeah, I remember one of our customers or somebody had that. I'm sorry.
No. It was very interesting. He now has nice PTZs and all that. But anyhow, well, guys, we're about out of our time. In fact, we've probably gone over time a little bit. That's quite all right. But Steve and Phil, I want to say thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate you being on the Press On Connection. And you guys are doing some awesome things. So I want to say to those of you who are watching today, go check out streamingchurch.tv and see what they have to offer for your church. Likewise, check out pressoncon.com if you want to get in touch with Jeremy or me and see what Press On is up to these days. Don't forget to follow us and to like. And I want to remind you to plug in, power up, and press on. Awesome, guys. Thank you very much.
All right.